You know, it's of course it's Mother's Day. My mom has been gone for about 9 years now, and my mom had an amazing alto voice, and she had the good fortune. We had a family friend that paid for her to record an album a number of years ago, and so occasionally I'll pull it out, and I get to still hear my mom sing, which is just wonderful. The song I'm going to sing this morning is one of her favorite ones, but I actually had to chuckle when Jerry was talking before the offertory, and he talked about the Ten Commandments. And the reason I chuckle when I hear the Ten Commandments, because he talked about honor your father and mother. And it's honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land that I'm going to give you. Well, my mom was also an amazing Bible teacher, and she had my sick and twisted sense of humor as well, or I got it from her. And she used to say, honor your father and mother that you may live. And she was dead on it. She was amazing. And so anytime I think of the Ten Commandments, I think of that. And anytime I hear this song, I think of her. And so I want you to just to enjoy it and just think of the Savior with which we walk today and think of the joy that he brings us. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender words I hear. And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I am free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
want to do a shout out to my mothers. I know she'll be listening on the radio this time next week. I had the privilege of seeing my mother all day yesterday, and I have the blisters to prove it, and she'll understand what that means. When I go to my mother's house, she always says, "Son, I love you. Bring your toolbox." I have a lot on the house that needs to be fixed. But guess what I gave my mother for Mother's Day? I allowed her to fix me a big country breakfast. That's all she wanted. I didn't want to dishonor my mother. I had three kinds of meat for breakfast. Can I get an amen? We had bacon, we had sausage, we had ham, and something else was in the fridge. Throw it all in the pot. I didn't care. She makes the best biscuits and gravy and fried and just everything was good. Everything you're not supposed to have, that's what my mother wanted for Mother's Day, so I was the beneficiary of that. So I'm going to do a shout out to Betty Smith living in Richmond, Virginia. Mommy, you know how much I love you. Wow. And all the godly women here. I was taught in school many, many years ago, you want to preach to the need of the hour. Preach to the need of the hour. There's a need today for godly women. Can I get an amen? Godly women, with or without children. And so I'm going to call attention to your bulletin, please. Notes inside the sermon notes section. I want this to be an encouraging word for all the women, all the godly women, all the mamas, the great-grandmothers, and so on and so on. You are not alone. Notice the title, 1 Kings chapter 17, "You are not alone, mama." You are not alone, grandmother, great-grandmother. We found out today, great-great-grandmother. Goodness. And when you have folks living to be in their 90s, nearly 100 years of age, a century there, praise the Lord. So if you don't have your Bibles open to the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, I invite you to do so right now, please. It's between the book of Genesis and Psalms. You'll find it there, more toward the book of Psalms. 1 Kings chapter 17, we've already recognized all godly women, including the mothers here on Mother's Day, Christ honoring women at large. But right now we want to give attention to Jesus Christ, the very reason we've assembled here today. And one of the forerunners of Jesus Christ, one of the prophets of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, his name was Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. Elijah. I remember about 20-some years ago, whenever it was, I was in class and the professor asked a very simple question, who was the greatest prophet over the northern kingdom of Israel? Was it Elijah or Elisha? I didn't know the answer. And of course, all the homiletical debates took place there. And then he said, well, guys, we'll never settle that. Both of them performed many great things for God. But which came first, Elijah or Elisha? Now, this is going to be on a test. When he would say that, I promise you, it would show up on the test. So if I didn't hear anything else, only thing I heard was test question. So I couldn't settle which one was the greatest prophet for God, Elijah or the one who followed him, Elisha. But what I did find out was, who followed who? He said Elijah came first and Elisha came second. Now, I'm paying premium money for this schooling. He said, do you know how you can always remember? Elijah before Elisha. J comes before S in the alphabet. You might not find that funny. We all did. And since that day, it's easy to remember. Elijah came before Elisha. Chapter 17, when he really comes onto the scene, you can find he was ruling here under the hand, well, he was a prophet better, under the ruling hand of Ahab. And Ahab was a very wicked man, a very wicked leader, who also was governing over God's people because of their idolatry. Ahab had a woman that none of us men would want to be married to. Her name was Jezebel. So you had Ahab, who brought Baal worship, idolatry into worship there in the northern kingdom, and married to Jezebel, who hated God and all of God's people, including the prophets. So you had Elijah, in my estimation, did great things for the Lord. Elijah's so important. He was there in Matthew chapter 17, if memory serves me well. Matthew chapter 17, he was there the day of Mount Transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Wow. Elijah was compared to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 alone. So he's compared to John the Baptist because of the way he dressed, the way he conducted himself, the way he spoke out for God as a forerunner in the Old Testament for Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist a forerunner for Jesus Christ, foretelling. That's what prophets did. They foretold things were going to come. So you had this great man, Elijah, who was compared to John the Baptist. Elijah, who is there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah, in my estimation, halfway through the book of Revelation, which we've been studying on Sunday night, he's going to show up again. And we get into a big argument. Is it Moses, Elijah, or Enoch that's going to be part of the witnesses, the two witnesses there at the middle of the tribulation? I'm going to go on record saying I think it's Elijah. And I can prove to you in the scriptures, but it really doesn't matter about our salvation pertaining to that. But this man, Elijah, was a very, very prominent man in the Old Testament. And notice what took place here in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Well, Pastor, don't you realize today is Mother's Day? Why are you not in Proverbs chapter 31? The proverbial woman, the virtuous woman. We've already given homage to that. We recognize that. But how many of you know there's more than just a book of Proverbs when it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day and any holy day? Ladies, I think you'll be blessed through today's message as we learned, what's the title again? You are not alone, Mama. You are not alone, Mama. And I'm not going to be ugly up here today. There's a lot of deadbeat dads out there. There's a lot of single mothers. There's also a lot of women who are married to men who are not with them today in church. My heart bleeds for them. You do with this whatever you want to. I never put myself on a pedestal, but I want to be the best Christian I can be. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the best father I can be. My God, my wife, my children deserve that. Now, men, if you agree with that, how about a hearty amen? Amen. I can do a Tim the Tool Man. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But I think let's keep it spiritual. Amen. We want to be the best we can be, but let me be honest. I have family and friends. That's not necessarily the case. They're the mothers, the grandmothers. Sometimes they feel like they're on an island by themselves. They're in dire straits. Does anybody care? Does anybody care what I'm going through? I know it's Mother's Day. Hand out flowers and Bible bookmarks and hugs from the kids. But I'm going to go home to a lonely home. Sometimes I feel like I'm there by myself. As Brian's so beautifully saying, if God's eye is on the sparrow, I want you to know He is watching over you. Well, God said to this prophet, and what does a prophet do? He prophesies. He shares. He appears on the scene here, and he said, because of the sin of Ahab and Jezebel, there's going to be a drought in the land. A drought in the land. This is going to stop all their means of commerce. It really going to break them here. And so here's what's taking place in 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, remember Ahab, the wicked one? Just notice the two verses before this. Put your finger right there on 1 Kings chapter 17. Back up to 1 Kings 16. And verse 33, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And that's not the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. I'm just trying to lay the foundation. This wicked man, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel was doing more than kicking at the pricks. Look in verse number 30, 1 Kings chapter 16. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. So here is the audience. Here who Elijah is going to go into his courtyard and say, because of your sin, your wickedness, a drought will be brought. I'm here just to announce this. A mighty prophet, I'm here to announce this. And notice with me in 1 Kings chapter 17 now, verse 2, 3, 4, and following, God told Elijah, now you've already fulfilled the prophetical charge. You've already went and foretold what's going to take place. I want you to go and rest by a creek bank. And you find that in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, get up and turn, go eastward, go hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. And he said, you could be in there in verse 4 and 5. I want you to go there, and ravens will come and feed you. You can drink out of the creek, but the ravens will come here for a period of days, and you will be fed. And the Bible says, and he did, and he did. And by the way, ravens were sort of a cousin to the buzzard. They were unclean birds. As Jews read this, it really showed Elijah's homage to God. You mean a buzzard, a raven is going to come and feed me? And I'm supposed to take this morsel of food and drink out of that creek? And God said, yes. And he did. He did. Well, after he did this, it says in verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Remember, he prophesied there's going to be a drought. So, of course, the creek starts to dry up. So the Lord came to him and said, verse number 8, get up again, arise. Get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. And notice in verse number 9 now, a special widow, which you'll see the character inside of your sermon notes section, a special woman, a widow woman is there, and she's going to take care of you. Now, doesn't this sound good? Doesn't this sound good? We were talking about the homegoing when Miss Frazier passed. You could not go into her house with her offering to fix you something to eat. Can I get a witness from any of the ladies? You could not go in there. Hey, have you had anything to eat? Yes, ma'am. I just left down here at Shoney's, and I tied on the feed bag, and I ate my way around that buffet 3 times. They had to roll me out in a wheelchair. She said, that's nice. What can I fix you to eat? Am I lying? My mother's the same way. Mom, you're listening. I know how much you love me. But if you can eat on the way to my mother's house, as soon as you show up, she says, I'll meet you in the kitchen. That's a gather. Well, here, this woman, you think, being very hospitable. She wants to fix this man of God a meal. But if you know the storyline here, which actually took place, there is a drought. She was a widow, had no means of income. It was every man for himself. She and her son were going to be preparing their last meal, and they were going to starve to death after that. She's just given herself to this. So now he shows up and had the audacity. In verse number 10, he arose. He went to Zarephath, just like God said. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, this widow woman was there gathering the sticks. She's going to make a fire. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. You knucklehead, did you not already predict there's going to be a drought? And now you ask this widow woman for a drink of water, and she's trying to ration it out for herself and her own son? And then he went on to say, when she went to fetch it, he said, oh, by the way, verse number 11, how about some food to go along with that? How about a morsel of bread? She finally just comes clean, and she said, as the Lord lives, in verse number 12, I don't have a cake. I don't have any bread, but just a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil there's there in the cruse. Behold, I'm gathering the sticks together that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat this and then do what? And die. Ladies, do you see the dire condition of this narrative? This woman had given up all hope. I'm telling you right now, moms, grandmas, great-grandmas, look at the title again. You are not alone. I'm going to preach to the need of the hour. As a counselor, I'm telling you, I see this over and over and over again. Women are saying, I just can't do this much longer. Don't give up. God is there. That word hope means confidence, the blessed hope. More than Jesus Christ coming again one day in the clouds of glory, Jesus Christ is here for you today. And God used this man, Elijah, to go to this widow in her very time of need. We'll be learning today how God does that in our lives today. But Elijah said to her, don't worry about this. Look in verse 13. Fear not. By the way, that might be a great one underlining your Bible if you've been keeping notes here over the years. I've told you in my summation, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible, and right there is another one. Why do you think God may have given us 365 fear nots in the Bible? How many days are there in a calendar year? Every day we can get up and say, fear not. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in this world. Fear not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fear not. He will sustain me. He will provide for me. Here's just another assurance, dear friends, especially the fine ladies here, verse 13. So Elijah said, fear not. Just go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. I don't believe she struggled with this. I really don't. Your mother's no different than my mother. Your grandmother's no different than my grandmother. I found out my mother's favorite piece of the chicken was not the neck. I'm a grown man. And this back in the day, mama would cut up her own chicken because she could save 7 cents a pound. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? And the back and the neck, my mother and grandmother who lived with us, my grandfather died early, would always wait and say, don't y'all eat that neck or the back. There's no meat on those two pieces. Why did they do that? Well, that's what sacrificial women do. Rather than grabbing the breast or a thigh or a leg or whatever it may be, he said, woman, I want you to go and prepare this meal. And by the way, give first to God's man, and God will bless you. I think there's an image there for us when it comes to stewardship. You give God the first fruits come to your home, you'll never struggle with money. I can tell you that right now, as someone over the years has taught in business, you give God first. You teach your children first. You'll never have to worry. Well, that's a bold statement. Come see me in my private office and I'll explain it to you. First, he said. And so she did. She did. And verse 15, according to the saint Elijah, she went and did this. He stayed there for many days. Well, wow, this is wonderful. What a touching story. You throw some poetry there, and in Dallas, it would be a great message. No, you got to follow along. Even after she was obedient, it didn't mean she didn't have heartaches and hardships. Her son died. What? Why would God allow the son to die? This woman honored God's man, Elijah. You read again, verse number 16 and following. They kind of leave the meal that's prepared there and came down here. And look what took place in verse 17. It came to pass after all these things, after a few days, that the son of the woman, the mistress of this home, he became sick. And his sickness was so great that there's no breath left in him. That's the same word that you find in Genesis 2:7. When God breathed into man, he became a living soul or a living person. The boy was D-E-A-D, dead. But you want to see the first resurrection I can find in the Bible? The first resurrection I find in the Bible is when Elijah, through the power of God, raise this boy from the dead. Now, that doesn't get you excited here on Mother's Day. Your wood may be all wet, friends. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, so she says, man of God. In verse 18, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin in remembrance and then slay my son? She says, is that why you came to my house? To drink my last little bit of water, to eat my last little morsel of food, to come and call me out now after you got fat and sassy, stayed here for a few days, you know my son. And now because I know I'm not living a perfect life, now you're going to slay my son and then go on your way? That's what she's saying here really in the Hebrew language. Even in the English language, you can see it. And he said unto her, verse 19, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom. See, the woman had him close there. How many ladies know when your child's sick, you're sick? How many ladies know when your child is sick, you're sick? Have you rocked that child to sleep with a fever? Huh? Only a woman can feel that pain. She had this dead boy in her bosom and carried him up to a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. This lofted area, most historians tell us, is an honored position there in a house. This is like a private chamber, like a bed and breakfast, if you will. So she gave him the first choice of the bread and the water, the first choice of the rooms. And as she went and laid him, he took the child, went up there. He cried unto the Lord, verse 20, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Of course not. He's begging God. He's asking God questions, ladies, that you may be asking God. God, I'm in a fix. What's going on here? By the way, look up this way, really important. Are we allowed to ask God questions? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I've heard preachers say on television, radio, and even in person, don't you ever question God. Don't you ever put yourself on the level of God. What? My Bible tells me just the opposite. You're allowed to say, dear God, help me understand. But look at this. With your hands open, not your fists clenched. That's the difference. God, help me understand what I'm going through. Lose my job. No money. My husband leaves me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God, help me understand. Well, this man of God did the same thing. God, what are you doing here? Help me. Help me understand. And God did. Verse 21, Elijah stretched himself upon the child three times. I believe it's a reference to the thrice holy God, just like in Isaiah chapter 6. He cried unto the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's life or the soul, same thing, come back into him again. And the Lord heard in verse 22, the voice of Elijah and the soul of the child came back to him again, and he revived, and he took the child back to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the woman said in verse 24, as we close out this chapter, she said to Elijah, now by this I know that you truly are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Dear ladies and gentlemen, I want to call attention to your handout today. This is really important. I want you to leave with more than just a wonderful story here in the Bible. It really took place. I want you to see three things that you know you can count on, just like this woman right here, in dire straits, in dire needs here. God will help you in three primary ways. The first one is, write this down, please. God's people will help you. Write that down. God's people will help you. Elijah helped this widow. Your pastor today, your deacon today, your Sunday school teacher today. Look across the aisle right now. Look at your neighbor and smile. Look at your neighbor. You might need that person one day. God's people will help you. Here at First Baptist Fairleigh, we are a hospital. We're not a jailhouse. We don't judge people here. We leave that up to God. This we're a hospital for hurting people who need to be healed. You come here. Jesus said, come to me as you are. God's people will help. I mean this so much. From my heart and in my ministry that I've placed this pew card that's going to stay in the pews for a while, that I want you to read along with me now. Pull this out behind the offering envelopes or perhaps the hymnals. If you'd like to keep this, feel free to do so. We'll be replacing these. But I want the parents and the grandparents and the great-grandparents, et cetera, to know that we are here to help you, and children are welcome at First Fairleigh. Here are 10 suggestions to make your family worship experiences even better. Even better, just like Elijah and this widow's son. Number one, 10 suggestions to make your family worship services here experiences better. Prepare the children before entering the service with reinforcing positive remarks like, today is going to be extra special as we get to go to church, rather than we have to go to church and you must remain quiet the whole time. Make church fun and not a punishment. Now, Julian Meadows will get me later on, but there's kind of a joke among the deacons that Julian used to jerk his kids up out of church here, take them outside, and they'd have a come to Jesus meeting. You know what I'm talking about. And one of the deacons said one time, Julian, what'd your boy do? Breathe. I'm just telling you right now, I enjoy coming to church, all the services. The children come to this church, they are welcome. Parents, you can prepare them before they get here and tell them today is going to be fun. You never know what that crazy Pastor Dallas be doing. You might be handing out gifts and hugs to the ladies. He might have you on stage during Bible school. You wait till Bible school this year. Oh, my goodness. if I don't get fired over this year's Bible school, I'm safe. Because we're going to blow it up for the Lord. It's going to be so much fun. Number two down here, to making sure children are welcome. Relax, parents. God put the wiggle in children so don't feel like you have to suppress it in God's house. Take advantage of our opening fellowship time and allow your children to leave the pew and talk with others if you allow them to do so. I've heard, shh, shh, shh. That's the only thing I was taught as a child. What? And those guys over there, they're called hushers. No, they're called ushers. They'll hush you down if you start talking in church. No! You know why I like kids in church? That's life. That's a mommy and daddy who chose life. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God said He knew that child. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for reinforcing the children when they come to church. This could be a good time. Relaxing, having fun. Number three, sit closer to the front of church so your children can hear and see better. I love this. Someone once said, the only thing I saw in church before the age of 10 was the back of old men's heads as we typically sat in the last pew. If that's the only place your children are sitting, move to the front, where the action is. Ecclesiastes 3, to everything is a season. Number 4 down here. Use Ecclesiastes 3 as a biblical teaching. Teach your children the importance of when to talk and when to listen. They can understand these things. Number 5, men. I'm going to talk to the basses. Sing, sing, sing unto the Lord. Don't stand there like a statue. Because little boys want to be just like daddy. And if daddy doesn't sing, the little boys typically don't want to sing. So number 5 suggestion down here, sing to God. You're not singing to the church, with your children. And don't be the person who just stands there. They won't be a part of the service. Number 6, hold hands while you're praying. Proven. Those little personal touches do work and makes it more special, more reverent in your times of prayer. Number 7, bring a Bible from home. Let the kids bring their own Bible. Highlight these things. Number 8, encourage older children to participate by filling in the sermon notes section just like today. And number 9, if they have to get up and go out of the service, bring them back. If not, it becomes a routine. I gotta go get a sip of water. I have to go to the bathroom. I'm just gonna check my emails. I'm gonna check my phone. Make sure the kids make this a priority. And number 10, we also offer Children's Church and Puggles, which you've already known. But notice who the church members down here. To the church members of First Baptist Fairleigh, the presence of children is a gift from God and a reminder that our church is growing! Thank you for making children feel special by welcoming them to our worship services through your smiles, your handshakes, your hugs, and even call them by name. I love the seniors in this church because they call the boys and girls by name. And more than just a Jack Smith, I see you trying to do that. You know what it tells a youngster? I'm special. So moms and dads, if you look at the blank number 1 down here, God sees your need. But God's people are here for you. Whether you're a single mother or whether your quiver is full, we have a lot of people here who want to be a blessing to you. Number 2 down here, God's Spirit will help you. Write that down, please. Today is Ascension Sunday, 40 days after the resurrection. Ascension Sunday. As Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down. Turn with me, please, to the book of John. John chapter 14. Now, ladies, did you use that new Bible bookmark to mark 1 Kings 17? Do that. Use your magnetic Bible bookmark, 1 Kings 17. We'll come back to it. But right now, we're seeing how you're not alone, Mama. God's people will help you. God's Holy Spirit will help you. Remember in Acts chapter 1? Verse number 8, how Jesus Christ said, all power is given to me under heaven and earth. You shall be witnesses in all this. We'll be talking about that. Ladies, your primary mission field is your family. I'm going to say it again. Ladies, your primary mission field is your family. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the living God, He will get you through this. Can I make one suggestion for a book? Even though it carries 3 different titles, write this down. Stormy O'Martin, O-M-A-R-T-A-I-N, I believe is how she spells her last name. In my estimation, of all the thousands of books I've read, this woman nailed it when she wrote a book on the power of a praying wife. Don't give up on that deadbeat you married. One day you thought he was going to be your knight in shining armor. Don't give up on him. The power of a praying wife, and a sequel to that was the power of a praying mother. And a third one, the power of a praying woman. So with or without children, with or without a husband, the power of a praying mother, wife, woman. Just that simple. But you have the Holy Ghost of God inside of you. Write down Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. Even when you don't feel like praying, women, ladies, when you don't even feel like praying, the Holy Spirit of God will make intercession for you. When you're groaning, when you're crying, wailing, you're saying, but I'm hurting, I have a wayward son or daughter, or my situation here, or I've been diagnosed with this, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? God will intervene himself, the third person of Trinity. Go, here's a great thing about Ascension Sunday. As Jesus Christ went up, the Holy Spirit came down. Can you prove that in the Scripture? Certainly. It's written in blood. It's written in red. You're in the book of John? Let's go to John chapter 14, verse number 16. This is written in blood. Jesus Christ said this, I will pray to the Father. It's talking about when he's going to be going up. And he will give you another comforter. That's a paraclete, a counselor, a friend, the third person of the Trinity. And he will abide with you for how long, ladies? Forever. When you trust Christ, you're never alone. You're never alone. When you become a Christian, you have Jesus Christ who lives within you through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. But let's stay here on point. Let's go to chapter 15, verse number 26. I realize time is pressing me. Let me hurry here. John 15, verse 26. When the Comforter comes, whom I will send unto you from the Father. You see, God the Father is in charge through Jesus the Son. The power of the Holy Spirit comes. When Jesus went up, who came down? The Holy Spirit came down. So we're in John chapter 15, verse 26. I will send unto you from the Father the Spirit of truth. That's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. It just doesn't stop there. Look in chapter 16, verse number 7. You have assurance again that God's Spirit, ladies, you're not alone, mama. God's Spirit will help you if you allow him to. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus said, it's important, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Paraclete, the friend who sticks closer than a brother, the third person of the Trinity, the triunity of God, will not come until I go back up to heaven. That's why we get so excited at Easter, that Jesus Christ conquered death and the grave itself. And then days later, he ascended back to the Father. But he sent his Spirit down to take up residence within all of us, and everybody that's a believer should be shouting amen right now. Amen and amen. You're not alone, mama. You're not alone, papa. God's people, look at your handout, will help you. God's Spirit will help you. Even when you don't know how to pray, Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit will say, I'll talk to God for you. Ladies, you find great assurance in this. The book I gave you, all these scriptures, realize you're not alone. You're not alone. This is Mother's Day. God's people will help, God's Spirit will help, and God's book, write that down, God's book will help you. It's a manual for raising your children and your grandchildren. This is where I struggle as a counselor. When people will come and say, my marriage is on the rocks, or my wayward son or daughter, and I'll say, well, listen, can I show you what the Bible says? Oh, yeah, I've already done all that. You've already done all of this? All of this? Yeah, I tried about that. That don't work. The Bible does. So you're unique. When God's recipe, God's formula works, has worked for thousands of years, and now you're calling out for help, and I say, let me show you in the Scriptures how God, through his assurance, his blessing, God will show up. No, that's not going to work. Give me something else. I said, well, what I'm not going to give you is man's advice. Look up this way, ladies. Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm a man's man. I mean that nicely. I'm a man's man. And I'm no different than any other man here. Men and women are so different that if you look something like medicine, you just look up it. This, to the ladies, is just a medicine bottle. And you got the cap on the top, a measuring cup. And all the medicines in liquid form come with a measuring cup. And down here in small print, it says, take this dosage. I'm going to prove to you I'm a man, a man's man, like that man you're probably sitting next to right now. You know what this cup on the top means to me? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Now, it has upset all the doctors in here. I don't care if it's NyQuil or Pepto, whatever it is. If you give a man a bottle with a cap on the top, what do, men? We throw the cap away, what do? And we're going to take a big hit of it until our bellies feel better or until we're so queasy we're saying, I think the medicine is working. You know what this is to a woman? This is a roadmap. A roadmap. How to get from point A. You know what this means to a man? Absolutely nothing. That means nothing to a man. Why would you insult me by pulling out a map? And don't you dare pull up your phone. I think we're lost. I know exactly where I am. Amen? My GPS on my phone says, I don't care what your GPS. And by the way, change the voice from a woman to a man. That's supposed to be a joke, ladies. You know I love you. First thing you did, remember the old generation GPS, the Garmin GPS? And you put it, you want to speak French, Spanish, English? English. You want a man's voice or a woman's voice? Man's voice. Donna said, why? Because a woman's been telling me how to drive for 36 years. You know what this is up here? To a lady, it's an operating manual on just a piece of equipment in my garage. I've owned this piece of equipment now for over 10 years. I had to find this. You know what this means to a man? Absolutely nothing. How to put it together, how to operate it? Remember what Jeff Foxworthy said? Honey, what's this? What's this? This going to amaze you. She said, yeah, before we go to the hospital. Amen. Ladies, I'm telling you down here, God's people will help you if you allow us to. God's Spirit Himself will help you if you allow Him to. And God's manual for life down here will help you if you allow Him to. You're back in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're getting ready to finish. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to close out with this. Mothers, the big debate in 1 Kings chapter 17 among theologians is the woman's closing remark in verse 24. She said to Elijah, this I know, that you are a man of God. We don't find anywhere that she says, because of this, I have trusted God. That's sad. Now, this woman very well may be in heaven. But there's been a lot of debates whether or not this woman truly became a Christian. Can you imagine if one of God's prophets came to your house at the point of death, and he performed miracles through God's power, up to and including raising your own son, and you would not trust him as Lord and Savior? That's the real tragedy. I don't know who is a Christian here today and who's not, but I'm talking first to all the women. All the women. What would it take for you to become a believer? On our prayer walk this morning, from the Middle East, the phone rang. I went back 34 years ago. I remember my wife, all 100 pounds of her delivering a 10-pound baby naturally in the delivery room at Chippenham Hospital. When I saw my child come out, I knew there was a God. There was no doubt before that, but after that, they said, you want to cut the umbilical cord? I said, love to. I did. And they went and they purged Amanda's nostrils and laid the baby on Donna's chest. We held this living, breathing creation of God. I said, Amanda Grace, Amanda Nell, from this moment forward, I'm praying that God will save you one day. You understand how much He loves you? You'll trust Him as Lord and Savior. From that moment, Our doctor was a Christian. Others were their Christians. What would it take to wake us up unto salvation? To see the birth of a child? What about the death of a child like this widow? And to see God go and raise his child again? The only tragedy with today is that we get wrapped up in the moment and we miss God's opportunity for salvation. I'm talking to all the men as well. What else could God do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the form of a man who died on the cross, raised him from the grave. He came around and sojourned, spoke to 500 people one time and many, many others. He gave us a living proof here in the manual. Why not trust God today? What a perfect day to become a Christian here on Mother's Day.